You are listening to the Rewards Canada podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Rewards Canada podcast and our first show for 2021. We hope that you all had a great Christmas and a happy new year. As we do each year, we kick off the podcast season with our outlook and predictions episode by bringing in a guest to discuss what we can expect for the upcoming year. And with that, I'm pleased to introduce our guest for this year, Anshul Singh. Many of you may know him as Points, Miles, and Bling, which is part of the Travel Update blog on the Boarding Area Network. Based out of Ottawa, he's well known in the Points and Miles community, having been a part of Points U, and most recently during the pandemic, for his weekly virtual meetups with Points and Miles bloggers, industry execs, and more. Welcome, Anshul, to the podcast.
Thanks a lot, Patrick. Thank you for having me, and a very happy new year to you and your listeners.
Yeah, happy new year to you too as well. I know you and I, we haven't really chatted too much since last summer. I have to thank you for having me as a guest on your meetup, and I'm so happy to have you here as a guest for the podcast. How have things been going for you in the last 6 or so months?
Within context, good enough in that the blog itself is doing well, but on the personal end, my partner, both of us have kept our jobs. You know, things were a little rocky up front when we were really struggling to adjust to the stay-at-home things. But over the last 6 months, I think we are super used to it. So both my wife and I are super comfortable in working from home, doing our own things, and having a couple of dogs that basically look up to us and be like, are you guys never going to leave home again? That kind of notion. But it's been good.
Yeah, that's great to hear. That's awesome. And, you know, for our listeners and readers who aren't aware of Points, Miles, and Bling, why don't you give us a little background on Points, Miles, and Bling, and, you know, kind of how you started, how you got into the whole Points and Miles world, and just a little bit more about yourself.
For sure. Much like a lot of bloggers out there, Points, Miles, and Bling was really a quest for me to put down things that I already knew or I was learning on the way in a space where I could go back to it as a reference, and more importantly for all the people that sort of somehow had recognized me locally as a Points and Miles expert, for me to just point links at them, to not have to do this in person over and over, so, or in big email write-ups, it was just easier to point out a link to them. It really started off that way. Points, Miles, and Bling really started off in early 2016. Before that, I work in a university setting. That's my 9-to-5. And as part of my job, I used to travel internationally very extensively across the world. And so earning the miles and points through hotel stays and airlines and whatnot was not difficult. What was the difficult aspect of that process was figuring out the best usage. So I was a voracious reader of, you know, forums like Flyer Talk. I'm not saying it just because I'm on here, but Rewards Canada was one of my primary blogs that I used to read at the time, and just trying to figure out how I could best use these thousands and thousands of points, which, as you would know, back then were very easy to get because there were so many promotions. Every flight ticket would get you 100% miles and all of that. Points, Miles, and Bling came on just as my way of trying to put all of that knowledge I was gaining at the time into a central space. And Boarding Area people were really kind enough to have me over on their new venture, which is called Travel Update. It's a multi-blog platform, much like Boarding Area, and I'm the Canadian voice on it.
That's awesome. Yeah, so you're bringing some real world experience to the Points, Miles, you know, having traveled so much for your work and everything. That's great to hear. And yeah, you've provided a lot of great advice. I remember hearing you at Points U and just a lot of our discussions in the past. So like I said, you did a great explanation of what you offer. So those those of our listeners and readers who aren't aware of Anshul, you know, definitely follow him on social media and his blog, because he does bring a lot of great experience and knowledge to the world of points and miles. And speaking of that, now we have to look at what 2021 is going to bring to the world of travel, miles, points, loyalty programs, and everything. And that's the whole gist of this episode. It's our Outlook episode. And I'm going to start off with the big question. We've had the pandemic. Travel was severely curtailed. Anshul, what is travel going to look like this year in 2021? What do you think?
Oh, man, I wish I had an eight ball and sort of was able to use that. But it'll be 50-50 in the sense that the first half of 2021 might look very much like 2020. The second half of 2021 is really where I'm hopeful things would change. To be honest, in a nutshell, if I can say how 2021 will go travel-wise, it might well mimic how vaccine rollout looks like in Canada and other parts of the world, because most people, including myself, are hedging bets of traveling in that third or fourth quarter, where we would hopefully by then have our vaccinations and the regulations of wherever we want to go will be eased out enough for people with vaccines. I think the first half of 2021 will look very much like 2020, where maybe late spring, early summer, we could expect quite a few people will travel within Canada or just closer to home, just like we were in parts of 2020. And the second half is really where I'm hoping vaccinations, airlines, and the policies overall just will settle down enough for everybody to be confident that they can actually travel and make good use of it. And when I say travel, I don't necessarily mean work travel. I mean leisure travel, in terms of vast majority of Canadians being comfortable in getting away from Canada internationally. But within Canada, I'm hopeful that by late spring, early summer, we should see a lot of domestic travel pick up, or at least start to pick up.
Yeah, I totally have to agree with you there, that the first half of this year is going to be exactly the same, you know, because right now the vaccinations are strictly frontline workers, long-term healthcare workers, and really those at most risk, and it's going to take some time. I know here in Alberta, they're not saying the general population is not going to be till fall till a lot of them start getting vaccinated. You know, ourselves and our family, we are waiting for that vaccination because we do have a, you know, immunocompromised person in our family. So we really have curbed travel, and you kind of have that fear, you know, of course, there's that possibility nothing will ever happen, but you never know. And you want to make sure you're being safe. And I think that's for a lot of people. It's the same case. And like you said, and really, I think it just comes down to, it will be just travel within our borders, especially because at the time we're recording this podcast, the new rule came into effect that you have to have a negative test administered. The test can't be received, but the test has to be administered within 72 hours of departure coming back to Canada. So like you said, non-work travel, that's going to really curb anybody wanting to go out of the country. You know, the big thing over the last 2 months has been traveling to Hawaii or sun destinations for Canadian vacationers. And that's going to, I think, put a real curb to that, because now you have that added stress of to figure out a place to go get tested prior to returning, making sure those test results come back in time, making sure you get the right test, because not all tests will be accepted. So there's just so much being added on top of your stressed travel plans trying to get out there. So I don't think, you know, like you said, I think for the next 6 months, international travel is really going to be cut back.
Yeah, and my gripe, if I can use that word, has been just this constant, what seems like government and travel operator pushback. Just airlines and hotels, government regulations come through, but airlines and hotels take a little bit of time to adjust to that. So it again causes a lot of stress for travelers that have to imminently travel for whatever reason. It could be a required travel that they need to be somewhere, or it could be and they've chosen to go to, say, Hawaii, which is allowing Canadians to come in. But yeah, the recent regulation is a great example of the government saying everybody now needs a negative test coming in. They still want them to be in a 14-day quarantine. That's okay as a policy if they want to keep that. However, just the guidelines for airlines to implement that has been very sort of skewed, in the sense that what we are hearing is airlines haven't really received very specific guidelines on how they're going to implement that pre-departure. So, you know, all of that to say that it doesn't really instill a whole lot of confidence, regardless of if you're sitting at home and listening to this news, or if you've already gone overseas and are sitting in Hawaii and now suddenly have to plan out these 2-3 additional steps in your plan.
That's right. Yeah, like it really will create a lot of issues. And like I said, I don't think it has been very well planned out. I mean, I like the idea of it, but the implementation definitely has some problems with it. I feel for the airlines, because they're going to have people who are flying back today. Just for those who are wondering, we recorded this on January 7th, which is the day that this kicked in. And some people may be flying back from somewhere internationally today. So what are the airlines to do, right? Do they accept those people? Because is there a gray area, or is it going to be, no, you cannot travel because you did not have a test? So I do feel for them. And I feel a lot for the essential workers who do have to travel.
Absolutely.
You know, even if some of those people only travel for a day or two outside of Canada and then have to come back. So within that 24 to 48 hour period, are you supposed to go get tested and get results before you return? Like, there's just so many different avenues to this regulation and for people traveling, that I wonder what's going to happen to that.
Yeah, and then there's certain exceptions that they've made for people that are coming back from countries where a test is not available. And that's such a vague policy, especially for airline workers, right? When somebody checks in, say, I'm just going to say India, because that's where I travel the most. If I'm coming back from India, how do I prove that there was a test available for me or not while I'm at the Air Canada desk trying to check in to get back home to Canada? So I don't know. I feel for the airlines, like you said, and also feel for people that have to suddenly scramble and do all of these things. And more so for the airline, because they have been left with trying to enforce this new policy. I don't know how all of this will pan out in the next few days.
That definitely caused a lot of confusion, and hopefully a lot of that confusion is cleared up sooner than later. And then, like you said, and hopefully by that time, more and more vaccinations come in and the rules start changing. Like I said, I mean, I know everybody's going to be vaccinated. We're all still going to have to wear masks until, you know, for who knows how long still. Just whatever we can do to keep everybody safe. But I understand there is a lot of confusion out there. So yeah, so travel definitely in 2021 is going to be, I guess, a wild card for a lot of people. It's at least in the first 6 months, maybe even 9 months. But hopefully by, you know, the holiday season next year, Christmas period or at the end of this year, I'm saying next year, I guess this year, by Christmas season, it will be a lot more normal, and a lot of us can go visit our friends and family and do the things we wanted to do for Christmas. So that, you know, that kind of, I guess, ties into, you know, the points and miles, because a lot of people use their points and miles for, you know, that holiday travel and everything. And the biggest news in 2020, of course, was the new Aeroplan program. So what do you expect from Aeroplan? What do you expect them to bring us in 2021? They've brought us so much news, but they keep telling us there's even more to come out. Today, the day we recorded this, new partner announced, Virgin Australia. Mm-hmm. So more great news, more partners. What are your thoughts? What can we expect from Aeroplan this year?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, the new Aeroplan program was always scheduled to be phased or rolled out, I should say, over the last half of 2020 and well into 2021. Virgin Australia being a new airline partner was great news as of this morning. That has added to the list of, you know, new partners that Aeroplan brought in late 2020, which was Etihad, Azul, Vistara. So my expectation would be that 2021 will not be any different in that regard. They should be able to bring on a couple more new partners. That's my hunch. I mean, in my weekly virtual meetups, I've been saying Virgin Australia and Qatar Airlines were my two bets that they would be the new partners. Virgin Australia coming through was great news because it sort of makes me look that much cooler. but I'm still hedging my bet on Qatar Airways being the next big partner coming on board. And again, this is purely a hunch. I have no inside information on this. But just given the new Air Canada route between Toronto and Doha that was announced a few weeks ago, it just makes me feel like they're getting ready for some mutual agreements and whatnot. Again, lots to be seen what comes up. So yeah, 2021 might see a few more partners. We've seen quite a few Aeroplan features that were supposed to be rolled out, like, Priority Pass was a big, not Priority Pass, sorry, I'm thinking of the Elite Priority Status Reward. Sharing. Priority Rewards came in. Yeah, absolutely. Priority Rewards came in. And just being able to share your status with one other person as a select benefit might come through as well. For March, I think I'm forgetting the exact term that they use.
Yeah, it is March. Yeah, yeah, elite status sharing. Yeah, I'm trying to remember too as well right now.
Exactly.
It's hard to remember everything because there is so much in the new program. Right? There is so much. So yeah,
absolutely. For sure.
Yeah, and I'd have to agree with you. Yeah, Qatar Airways, I think that's going to be one, yeah, definitely to watch. I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'm really hoping Aeroplan can clarify for all of us is we've seen major North American airlines come out with reduced qualification requirements for 2022 elite status. So I'm hoping there would be some word on that from Aeroplan pretty soon because their rollover is 1st of March or end of February. So I'm hoping they can come and tell all of us elite members or those that are aspiring to be elite members in the next year as to what our targets would be for this year. It would be great if they can slash it by a 50% or they could come up with some new promotions that will count. I'm thinking credit card spend specifically, given that they have rolled out such a great suite of new credit cards in the market now. I'm really hoping that a lot of our credit card spend this year will actually allow us to qualify for status for next year. So there's some new spending from that aspect. The other things that a lot of Aeroplan members sort of tend to care about or tend to sort of start worrying about is e-upgrades. E-upgrades that people are sitting on, these are points that, these are credits essentially that one can use towards a cash booking or now even points booking, and you can apply these credits to get yourself upgraded from economy to premium economy or premium economy to business class. These e-upgrades that you earn tend to expire end of February as the year, the elite qualification year rolls over. I'm hoping Aeroplan can come out and tell us if they are willing to extend that for this year, given the circumstances. So that might happen in the next few weeks or a couple of months. The new Aeroplan e-store looks pretty decent right now, but we were promised that starting January onwards, we might see a bigger rollout of features in the e-store in terms of, people using their links to buy products through, I don't know, Amazon or any other retailer. We'll be able to actually track our purchases on the e-store dashboard, which is, again, it's happening in a very limited way, but I'm hoping to see more features added on to the Aeroplan e-store, which is great. I'm expecting some everyday partners to come through. We used to have partners where you could earn Aeroplan miles when we were filling up on gas and, you know, or going to a hardware store or whatever else. I'm hoping to see a bigger rollout of, I'm doing these air quotes and I fully understand you guys can't see me, but everyday partners is what I'm thinking of. And I feel like the more 2021 looks like 2020, at least the first half, airlines and loyalty programs, Aeroplan included, will want to lean a little bit on these everyday partners to encourage us to spend our money with these retail partners where we can then earn points or even status with those.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, Aeroplan has gone away, and I think they've even stressed to us that they don't want to be, I think, considered a coalition program like they used to be. Mm-hmm. They're focusing, they're really focused. They want to be, you know, Canada's number one frequent flyer program. But they're kind of going with that hybrid model. They don't want to be the air miles, the more rewards, these guys who are striving to be coalition. We've talked about in Rewards Canada, that kind of the coalition model is dying a slow death. And I think Aeroplan saw that. And so they're focusing back on the travel. But you cannot be that program without, like you said, some of those everyday partners. So I think we'll see a bit of a hybrid model here. Yes, they're going to be a frequent flyer program, but you have things like the credit card spend, right, where they have the year-long bonus at Starbucks, things like that. You're going to see some of these partners to make it easier for those who don't travel as much. I mean, that's all of us right now, but in the future too, once travel does resume, you do have to have those options. The e-store is a big one, of course, but like you said, there we do have home hardware. We have a few, but you know, when I look back at Aeroplan about 5-6 years ago, the amount of non-travel partners they had was huge, and now that's been whittled down to just a few outside of the e-store. So yes, hopefully, and I think Aeroplan did mention they are planning to do that. So that's, you know, so let me kind of say, so we're kind of predicting based on what you've said, I've said, hopefully more everyday partners. Looking to see the elite status qualification reduced. So let's put that out as a prediction for us that we should see that from Aeroplan. We have seen it from a lot of programs, hopefully the same thing. And like you said, maybe a new version of kind of stay at home like we saw last spring, like spring of 2020, where people can earn status or more miles while staying at home because, like you said, travel, we aren't going to see much travel until later this year. So what can they do to keep members engaged and running in the program? So I think we may see another version of stay at home, probably stay at home 2021. And it might even be around the same time as last year, you know, this April, May time for sure.
And given just the sheer success of that promotion alone, and these are not my words, we had some Air Canada execs, Aeroplan executives on my virtual sessions, and they basically proclaimed that to be a huge success. I don't see why they wouldn't bring that on, especially given that most of us won't be traveling in spring or earlier in 2021 for sure.
Exactly. One more Aeroplan question for you or prediction, if you can tell me. Do you think once travel does open up towards the end of the year, do you think we're going to see the redemption requirements for travel on Air Canada jump up? Because I know right now there's a lot of good deals and the pricing is dynamic kind of based on ticket price. Do you think we're going to see some huge increases?
Yes, the answer would be increases, yes. I don't know how huge they'll be. It will really depend on, like I said, how the vaccine rollout and all of that and the confidence of the average Canadian to travel would be, because that's just the dynamic nature of Aeroplan these days. If everybody decides that, you know, Q3, Q4 or starting September onwards was their time to travel because there's so much sort of pent up demand, people have been putting off their trips. And if vaccinations do roll out the way they are expected to, and by fall, if everybody decides to start booking, or at least later in the year, if people decide to start booking fall and even Christmas trips, then yeah, absolutely, we can see some higher than normal redemption rates. So my suggestion to everybody listening in would be book right now, because right now we see some great book cash fares as well as points fares that people can book for September, or be it Thanksgiving or be it even Christmas next year. So I would definitely go ahead and book those trips if that was in your plans, and particularly because right now cancellations are very flexible. So if you book something right now and things don't look good in the next couple of months, you'll be able to go in and cancel without any penalties. If you wait till after June, July, or even August, the cancellation fees might come back, and we might see some of these cancellations become a little more restrictive. And like you suggested, there might be a lot of people willing and wanting to travel around Thanksgiving and Christmas next year, which will really jack up the prices, both cash and points redemptions as well.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. I'll totally back up your prediction there. I like to say my hopes, though, are that Aeroplan can adjust their models, and that even though cash prices may be jumping up with Air Canada, that they don't follow suit or as much, at least for a little while, because, you know, they, I do know as the airline, they're going to want to fill seats. They're going to want people traveling. Mm-hmm. And they are doling out a lot of points now, right? And a lot of points are being held, and they'll want people to use them up. So my hopes are that maybe there's a lag, at least maybe 4 to 6 months in Aeroplan, in points requirements versus cash prices, in that they encourage people to redeem. And that kind of gets people feeling, you know, give them a better feel of the new program as well. They can test out the online booking and everything. I mean, us in the points and miles world, where it seems like we're doing dummy bookings or bookings every few days. But for the general populace of Canada, there's probably some people who haven't even tried out the new booking system. You know, they're new with them. So hopefully maybe they're, you know, my hope is they're going to be a little lag in the points requirements in terms of cash prices. But, you know, that's a hope and not a prediction.
Correct. Look, look, I mean, I'm hopeful, but I mean, I'm coming at it from a as a cynic. Unfortunately, I mean, there's two things at play here. One is that every seat on Air Canada is now available on points. So people have just have more number of seats on each flight to be able to successfully book a point. So you would think that even a spike in demand should be able to absorb that without without the prices jumping up significantly. That's our hope. Having said that, in the past few weeks, we've seen certain high demand routes like Toronto, Vancouver, or Calgary, Ottawa really spike up in both in cash fares and points fares, and other bloggers, yourself included, have written about it. So having seen how that dynamic pricing is playing out over the last few weeks, I'm a little skeptical that that might not happen. The lag might not really exist, and we might see some real-time jumps. So it really depends on which day you log into your system and what's happening in the market at that moment. And again, reiterating that earlier the better. So if you can get on right now and book yourself, do it.
For sure. It's almost like playing the lottery, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And speaking of points and miles enthusiasts, those people who are checking every day, another program that really, it's not huge for the general Canadian population, but I think it should be on their radar, but one that's huge for points and miles enthusiasts is Alaska's Mileage Plan program. As we know, and all of us have written about, at the end of this quarter, they're going to be joining the One World Alliance, which can bring both good and bad news. And my question to you, I guess, prediction-wise, is do you think we're going to see a major devaluation in the program once they join One World?
Yeah, I mean, I've always considered, for me personally, I use Alaska's Mileage Plan program as my secondary program after Aeroplan being primary. And I suspect that's the case for a lot of Canadians, especially the West Coasters. So yeah, that's another program I keep a close eye on. And I would say that, yes, devaluations can be expected because they'll have to standardize a little bit across with other One World carriers and how their programs treat their redemption charts. However, given that it's a new program they'll be venturing into, I suspect they'll hold back any major devaluations until a little bit later in 2022. 2021 might see more of a soft launch where they'll keep the award charts as much as possible. I mean, the obvious exclusions or obvious hurdles might be partners within One World. They'll have to sort of make sure that they are standardizing themselves against, say, a Cathay Pacific reward may not sit at 62,500 on a business or a 70,000 in first class. That might go up a little bit. But for their partners outside of One World, like Emirates, for example, there was a lot of speculation if Emirates will stay or go. My expectation is that somebody like an Emirates will stick around because their redemption rates were high enough as is. So I don't see any need to further devalue them or for that partner to go away completely. The prediction is that there will be devaluations, but not imminently. They might hold off until 2022 and sort of phase their devaluations over a longer period of time, as opposed to switching into a new program, trying to get as much as positive media attention on it. I don't think they'll really touch the award charts significantly to start affecting their PR, so to speak.
Yeah. Again, I think we're on the same wavelength there. I kind of, my thoughts or predictions are the same as you. I don't think we'll see anything until 2022 and for a devaluation in the program. And I mean, given too, you know, they don't want that negative PR, and given that we're still in the pandemic, I mean, what will be devaluing the program at that time, really? You know, you want people to learn about it, to try it out and everything, and to make it worse right off the bat. I mean, we may see, like you said, some adjustments. Hopefully it's no more than 10%. I'm usually good with that 5 to 10% range. When you look at the big picture, because now by Alaska being part of One World, you have so many more options for earning and redeeming, like especially for you guys down east, right? Yeah, this opens up more for you guys, because Alaska Airlines themselves only flies to BC and Alberta. Exactly. I mean, I have had airline partners that do serve other parts in Canada, but that's been kind of limited. So this opens up definitely more doors for you guys down there.
For sure. And I mean, right now, and has been for a long time now, the biggest draw of that program is being able to sort of earn all of those miles either through the credit card, the MBNA Alaska credit mileage credit card, or by flying partners. Just by flying current partners, it's a very easy way to earn Alaska miles. However, them joining One World then really opens up the door for everybody out here east to be able to use their partners. I mean, even as easy a partner as, say, British Airways or Condor, for example, which publishes a lot of lucrative low business class fares. And as we were discussing a couple of weeks ago on my virtual meetup, some of these business class fares, along with bonuses and whatnot, can earn you as much as 200 to 300% of the mileage flown. And that's incredible. And that's the other piece. I feel like that feature is going to stay. Alaska as a program has really vouched for it, that the ability to earn based on distance and not going revenue based is something they are going to uphold. So I'm really looking forward to that, because I think they are the only airline left in North America that are not revenue based. And if they can just uphold that promise, I think they'll draw a lot of customers in a positive way.
Absolutely. They've been kind of an outlier, and they've always stuck to their guns that they're there to, I can't say serve the frequent flyer or the traveler or mileage plan member, but they definitely listen and want to not make their members extremely mad. You know, they don't want them fuming at them, like we've seen with American Advantage, Delta Sky Miles, Lufthansa's Miles and More. Like all those programs have gone through a lot of changes that have their members fuming at them. And Alaska has always stated, we're not going to do that. And they've stuck to their guns. They haven't done that. So I have to agree with you that, yeah, even on the earn side, I think it's going to stay more lucrative than we see in other programs. And then I know you mentioned the MBNA Alaska MasterCard, a very popular one for the mile world in Canada. The points and miles enthusiasts love that card. What do you think is going to happen in the credit card market for 2021?
I think that's going to be the most exciting sort of piece in this entire loyalty program credit card world in 2021, because like we've spoken about earlier, given that a good part of 2021 people still won't be traveling, I think airlines and credit card companies and all the other partners are put their focus and energies towards spend, towards people being able to use their credit cards locally, domestically, and then being able to earn all of those points and miles from that. So just in that regard, I think be it Alaska, be it all of the Aeroplan cards, be it Air Miles and all of their credit card partners, we'll see a significant push in promotions, in us being able to meet certain spend requirements, bonuses, or at least that's my expectation. And I don't think I'm far off from what we can expect given what companies were doing in 2020. Imminently speaking, they were in 2020, they were really reacting to the market. Now they've had 6 to 8 months to strategize and think about what 2021 will bring. So I feel like we are going to really see some of these credit card partners step up their game in Canada and offer a lot of bonuses and spend bonuses. We are already seeing somebody like Amex Canada really putting the foot on the pedal with statement credits. and not focusing as much on welcome bonuses alone. They're focusing a lot more on spend-based bonuses. I think that's going to spread across the board, where we'll see TD and CIBC and MBNA and all of these, Scotiabank and all of the major big five and major credit card issuers follow suit with a lot of statement credits and spend bonuses coming our way.
Yeah, exactly. I have to agree with that. I mean, like you said, I know, especially from Amex, but even other card issuers, the big switch last March, April was to protect, or I can't say protect, but to really encourage those people who had their cards to continue using them. And that's why we saw the, you know, the double offer from on the Platinum card, the $250 grocery statement credit. We saw, you know, RBC put out 2 points offers, CIBC, TD, all of them, you know, basically bonusing the categories that people were spending the most, which was groceries, food delivery, things like that. And they really focused on the existing customer. But I do also, on top of your prediction, I predict we're going to see some really lucrative sign-up bonuses come out this year. I think we got a hint of that at the end of last year when HSBC came out with that 100K offer. Their World Elite MasterCard, like just an amazing offer. And I think it's going to be, like you said, kind of they've had time to sit down and think and look at and strategize. And now that kind of the economy is normalizing around the pandemic and there's less people kind of panic applying for cards because they need a credit, we'll see these pre-sign-up bonuses come. And also to compete against programs like the new Aeroplan. Like I believe Aeroplan is going to be coming out huge with a marketing initiative here this year. And so all the other issuers will need to compete against that. So I think on top of what Angela said, I'm going to predict we're going to see some really decent welcome bonuses come out during 2021. And that's to, I guess, you know, encourage people to go for these other cards rather than cards like the Aeroplan card or whichever. It's going to be a very competitive market. So I think that's my prediction, is that we're going to see some really decent bonuses. I mentioned this, you know, probably right when the new Aeroplan program was announced years ago. Well, actually, the new Air Canada program wasn't Aeroplan at that time, before Air Canada bought Aeroplan. That is going to be very competitive in the early 2020s, you know, 2021, 2022. And I think we'll see that happen. There's going to be a lot of competition this year, and it's great for the consumer. There's going to be so many good credit card offers, even like Aeroplan's Buddy Pass right now.
Huge
value if you can make use of it. And the fact that you get up to about 2 years, you know, you have a year to book something, but then you have up to a year after that to actually travel. So it gives a lot of space for people to book travel, and it can provide, yeah, lots of huge value for sure.
Yeah, the other piece we haven't spoken about yet pertaining to credit cards is cashback cards. We saw a huge, gigantic shift from people trying to get into cashback credit cards. And that was such a positive for credit card companies to realize and understand that people are willing to, you know, switch their travel plans for the time being and also adopt cashback credit cards. So I think that momentum will continue in 2021 along with all of the other travel cards. We'll see a lot more cashback card promotions coming our way, which again is great, great for choices that Canadians have. Because like we've said before, not every Canadian will be as comfortable in getting up and starting to travel at least till Thanksgiving or Christmas next year, right? So for them, they are looking at another 6 to 8 months of cashback earnings. And the big focus that started happening in 2020, I see that momentum carry forward in 2021 as well when it comes to cashback cards alone.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, actually. I wasn't even thinking of going the cashback route, but that, you know, I'm glad you brought it up because it is huge. Cashback in the last few years in Canada, the cashback cards, you know, up until maybe a half a dozen years ago, really lacked in terms of rewards compared to travel rewards. But that gap has closed, and a lot of the cashback cards are now providing value close to or at, I guess, your economy class redemption level for travel cards, you know, around that 1.5-2%, maybe even a little bit more. And the reason I'm thanking you for bringing this up, because I was thinking, earlier this week, I put out a piece about the RBC Avion card. That is the card that's due for the biggest overhaul in Canada. And the reason why that ties in here, because I was actually going to write that piece about five cards in Canada that need an overhaul, but I had already written a novel about just the Avion card. I'm just going to do that card and not the other four, because otherwise you guys would be reading it for hours on end. But I was going to touch upon the two cashback cards in Canada that haven't shifted, and that was the Scotia Momentum Visa Infinite card and the Amex Simply Cash Preferred. And they're not major overhauls, but they're the only two standout cards left, or that standout in that they only award cash back once per year. We now know CIBC Dividend, they were the third big one out there that had it, but late in fall, they announced that coming this February, they're going to on-demand cash back redemptions. I think, don't quote me on this, but if I recall correctly, it's when you hit $25, you can redeem. So it's kind of like TD. So they've made that move to compete against a lot of the other cash back and basically on-demand redemption travel cards. I guess the two minor overhauls out there that I'm hoping or predicting this year is we'll see the Momentum Visa go to on-demand cash back, and we'll see the Simply Cash Prefer go to on-demand cash back, because that's the only things keeping those cards from being on top of the pile of cashback credit cards. Not that they're far out there, but it's just whether you want immediate access to your cashback or if you're fine getting it once per year.
Yeah, and as somebody that uses Scotiabank cards primarily as well, that is something that really holds that card back in terms of repute in the market. Just being able to do that once a year seems very restrictive, especially in the times we live in. If that can be put as an improvement in early 2021, I definitely see that Scotiabank card really jump up in your rankings as well.
Oh, absolutely. I hope they do it. So prediction, both Simply Cash Preferred and the Momentum Visa Infinite cards go to on-demand cash back. And that's strictly because of what the competition's doing. All right. Go ahead.
Just going to point out that we've also seen this significant shift in terms of bonus category earning on groceries, especially. Canada is now enjoying a couple of cards that are up to five times earning on groceries. I think there are cards that are still languishing, like you pointed out, the RBC one, which only will give you 1 or 1.5 times the earning. I think there's a great scope for improvement in sort of at least bringing up some of these bonus categories up, if not to 5, then at least to 2, 3, or even 4. So I'm looking forward to seeing how some credit card products position themselves, given how successful these categories have been for other products.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I think, RBC, and there's a few other that do need to play a little catch up. So hopefully they will do that this year. Mm-hmm. And so final question for this podcast. I know we're in pretty long here, a little bit longer than we normally do for the podcast, but I hope you're enjoying it. This has been a great one. We could honestly talk for hours. So final question, it's a two-parter. Which Canadian program do you think will be the standout program in 2021? And then also your pick for standout non-Canadian program. It can be airline, hotel, coalition, anything.
So it's really, from Canada's perspective, it's really hard to see beyond Aeroplan in terms of the standout program, because it's a major overhaul, one like we haven't seen in a long, long time. And there's not many programs that get to sort of do that reset in a way that Aeroplan has done. So not only for the things that they've come out with, there's so much that is still left and they've promised us. The one big thing with Aeroplan, and this is the only reason I'm picking them as a standout, the one big thing for this community of points and miles enthusiasts is the ability to book one stopover or even multi-leg trips online is going to be huge. It's going to be a huge benefit. It's going to be a huge feature in that program. So that, to me, if that is implemented well, regardless of when they do it, Q2, Q3, or even Q4, if they implement that well, that alone would be a standout feature of 2021 for me. So I'm picking them. As for a non-Canadian program, it's not necessarily non-Canadian, but I feel I have big expectations from Hyatt, the loyalty program from Hyatt, just because Canadians on a day-to-day basis don't have much in terms of earning Hyatt points. because we often have to transfer out our points into Hyatt points. So what I'm hoping from them is just the current promotion that they have done, the doubling up of nights earned and also halving the qualifications. Just that alone makes me feel like a lot more Canadians would have ventured there and would have gotten elite status through that promotion, which makes me believe that they'll then try and use that internationally when they're traveling. So I'm really looking at Hyatt to continue, for lack of a better term, their leadership position in the hotel loyalty space and continue to offer some intriguing promotions to that Canadians can really engage with, which they're already with the current promotion. I think it was called Boundless or something. I forget the name of the promotion, but yeah, so I'm hoping more Canadians engage with that program. And just as a program that we don't get to engage with on a daily basis here in Canada, I feel like that would be my program for a quote-unquote non-Canadian program that we'll engage with in 2021.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, I laughed a little bit when you said Hyatt, and it was because you picked the exact same two programs I was going to pick. Canadian standout program, Aeroplan. I won't even go into that. You guys know why we think it's a standout program, but Hyatt, I agree as well. They're under the radar for Canadians, and that's because, you know, up until a few years ago, they had very few locations in Canada, but they've been growing their portfolio in Canada and continue to grow. As you know, every year we post our new Hyatt hotels and other hotel brands, mm-hmm. what new hotels are coming to Canada. So watch for that post from us because they are continuing to grow in Canada, and they see Canada as a very good market for them. And so, yeah, World of Hyatt, with the promotions they do, with their elite status benefits, the miles and the properties that you have that you can redeem at for when you can travel outside of Canada are pretty amazing. Yeah, they don't have 7,000 hotels like Marriott or 5,000 like other chains, but the hotels they have, and that's the word I was looking for before, it was on the tip of my tongue, aspirational. They have aspirational properties. Yeah. And a lot of them provide great value for their points.
Oh, immense. And I think their footprint not being the biggest has in a way helped them because they've engaged into this venture of partnering with some niche boutique hotel chains around the world, like SLH, which is Small Luxury Hotels of the World. That's a great partnership to be able to use your Hyatt points in some of those properties because that portfolio is just purely aspirational. And some of the properties out in Asia, North America, wherever, is just incredible. So like you said, in a lot of ways, Hyatt's current situation reminds me of Alaska, where the footprint was small. So they got into these very innovative partnerships with other airlines, which is Alaska. So Hyatt, because the footprint was low, they are trying to get into these very innovative partnerships with other boutique hotel chains in the world, which presents a great opportunity for us to use their points towards aspirational stays.
Amazing. That is a perfect way to end our podcast. I'm so happy about that. You can tell you and I have a lot of the same thoughts. Anshul, thank you so much for coming on to our podcast. Definitely going to have you back on here again in the future.
Would absolutely love to. Thank you so much for having me. But before I go, just something that was stuck in my mind. Don't forget to use the Aeroplan e-store for Uber Eats, because I know that's the other piece that a lot of programs are tapping into, us ordering food. And given that we are at home, we tend to order a lot more food. So yeah, Uber Eats will just earn you points. And I know everybody uses Uber Eats, so may as well just earn some Aeroplan points. But sort of going back to you, Patrick, thank you so much for having me. I really, I'm thankful for all of your questions because it helps me align my thoughts and my plans for 2021. And for everybody listening in, if you want to come hang out with me, you can join my virtual meetup that I do. It's through Zoom, but my Facebook page, Points, Miles, and Bling, will give you all the details that you're looking for.
Yes, for sure. And yeah, again, thank you, Anshul. I will have links to Anshul's blog and his Facebook page on our podcast page, rewardscanada.ca/podcast. Thank you all for listening in. We hope you guys all had great holiday season and really looking forward to a much better 2021. And I hope it's great for everybody. Thank you very much. The Rewards Canada podcast is produced in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, with music produced by Regina's own TWKOP.